Welcome to The Patriot, 1776. Hi, this is John Mady, and I am the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in North Fort Myers, Florida. And who is the Patriot of 1776? You are, and I am, and so is everyone who loves America and wants to follow the principles of our founding fathers. The last sentence of the Declaration of Independence reads like this: "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." If it had not been for the Patriots of 1776, we would still be paying taxes to England and drinking a spot of tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Help us win back America now, just like the Patriots of 1776 won America in the first place. You should take notes and use your Bible. We will give you our mailing address later. Our question for today would be, if we pray, will things change? And so, as we're looking at our program today, and we're looking at turning your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7, and beginning in verse number 11. Here, Solomon had just finished the house of the Lord, and at the same time, he had a prayer, and he prayed to the Lord. And so now, the Lord is coming to him, and in verse number 11, it says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." And so this is the place that the Lord picked so that people could come and know, here's where we pray. And then in verse number 13, the Lord says to Solomon, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." It's rather interesting here when it talks about pestilence. You might look that up, and the definition of pestilence is a fatal epidemic disease. And a fatal epidemic disease simply means that, you know, there's no solution for it. There's no way to make it better. It's something that happens and no one can do anything about it. And then when it says, when we talk about epidemic, a widespread occurrence of an infectious disease. And so we go back to verse 13 and look at that word pestilence. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Pestilence, a fatal epidemic disease. An epidemic, a widespread occurrence of an infectious disease. So the Lord is saying to Solomon at that time, Solomon, I'm going to tell you what the solution to these kinds of things are. And when you look at that, why would the Lord send such thing as locusts to devour the land? Why would he make it so that there is no rain? Why would he send pestilence? The only reason would be is because God's people get away from worshiping the Lord. And so, here in verse number 14, it says there, "If my people," and this is the Lord's answer to Solomon. The Lord is telling Solomon what to do, that if the people get away from him and he doesn't allow there to be any rain, and he commands the locusts to devour the land, or if he sends pestilence, Solomon, here's what you do. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And that's what we're looking for here in America. This is what we want. We would like for God to heal our land. But he says, if I'm going to heal your land, this is what my people need to do. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, do you call yourselves by God's name? Do you call yourselves a Christian? That name Christian was given to us to make fun of us. That name means little Christ, and it was given to us. And so God says, if we shall humble ourselves, and if we shall pray, and if we shall seek God's face, and if we shall turn from our wicked ways, then the Lord says, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That's what we need to do. We need to get in there and do those things so God can heal our land. You say, yeah, but that's Old Testament. Well, let's look at something that's rather interesting in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to leave it up to you to read verses 1 through 11 through 12, but I want you to look at these two verses when it's talking about Israel, and you're going to have to read verses 1 through 12 for yourself. But in verse number 6, it says, now these things were our examples. And it's talking about Israel and all the things that Israel went through, all the things that Israel did wrong, and what they had to do to get out of their bad situations. That's in verse number 6. It says, now these things were our examples. And then look at verse number 11. Now all these things happened unto them, the Israelites, for examples. And they are written for our admonition. And so God gave us all that happened to Israel to be our examples and to show us. If you study Israel all throughout the Old Testament, you find out that every time they got away from the Lord punished them. And that's where we are in America. We have gotten away from the Lord as God's people. And it doesn't take the whole country to get us back to where we should be. But what it does take is for God's people to get back to where God's people should be. Going back to verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And look at verse number 15. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. You know, this is the thing that we need to understand and we need to know about this great country of America. We're the only country that has ever been established based on God's word. Our founding fathers based the Declaration of Independence on his word. Our founding fathers based our Constitution on his word. And so now we're the only country that has ever been started based on God's word. And he says back in verse number 16, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Well, it's rather interesting to know where we are even today. We know that in 70 AD, that that Jerusalem was completely destroyed, including that house. That was in 70 AD, that was the second temple that was destroyed, and it's never been rebuilt. But what about now? When it says in verse 16, "For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever." Where is he now? Where does he live now? All we have to do is go to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. And it says in those two verses, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So today, even though the temple isn't there, God still shows forth his power through his people, because God's Holy Spirit lives within us now. The Lord Jesus Christ lives within us now. God the Father lives within us now. That's where God is now. That's where we go back to verse 16 in 2 Chronicles 7. And it says, "For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever." And that's where he lives right now, because the temple was completely destroyed in 70 AD by General Titus, who later became the leader of the Roman Empire, the emperor. And so it says in verse number 17, "And as for thee," speaking to Solomon, he's still speaking to Solomon, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 17, "And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments," verse 18, "then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them," verse number 20, "then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations." And so here in verse number 21, we begin seeing the crux of why they lost the temple the first time. And in verse 21, it says, "And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house?" In verse 22, "And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them." And so that's where we are today, America, the greatest country that has ever existed. And we are following the example of Israel. Could we say this? In verse 21, "Why hath the Lord done thus to America?" In verse 22, "Because they have forsaken the Lord God of their founding fathers of 1776. And we can look at the things that we have done since 1776. God has not allowed in public schools. You can't talk to God in public schools, although they're not going to be able to stop that. As long as they have tests in public schools, you're going to have students who are going to pray and say, "Lord, help me to do well in this test." So they're not going to stop that. But the teachers can't pray out loud with the kids like they did a long time ago in our school. And then they claim separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. The Constitution says we have to keep separate church and state. And that's a complete lie. there is no such thing found in the Constitution of separation of church and state. If anyone ever tells you that, ask them to show you in the Constitution where it talks about the separation of church and state. And then another thing that America has done that's so terrible is more than 58.5 million aborted babies since 1973. How can God be pleased with that? Babies were put in the fires of Molech. They dedicated the babies to the god Molech, and that they did all the time. And now today we're passing laws to promote homosexuality, and that's not good. We're told throughout the Bible that homosexuality is an end result of sin. And what amazes me today is they're passing laws to promote sin. You know, they pass laws, you have to get a license in order to sell liquor. And yet the Bible tells us we shouldn't even look upon alcoholic beverages. And yet we have so many laws that pertain to that. We have so many laws that have just been changed to go against God's word. And what do we do about that? Verse 22 in 2 Chronicles 7:14, 7, it says, "Therefore hath God brought all this evil upon America." Look again at Proverbs 16:12. "It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. You have to take a look at what is righteousness. Righteousness is right acting towards God. Righteousness is following what God wants us to do. Can't we see who government belongs to? Can't we see who should be in charge of God's government? Government belongs to God. And government should be controlled and run by those who are godly people, not by people who are not godly, not by people who have not trusted Christ as personal Savior. And so we can go on now. We're going to get started. I don't know how much we can get done with Romans chapter 13. But let's turn there, if you would, in Romans chapter 13. There are a lot of things here in Romans chapter 13 that we need to look at very carefully, that we need to see where power comes from. We need to see who should be in charge of government. And so as we look at chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Let's not forget the three institutions of God to keep order in the world. They are the family, the church, and government. Like to look at a couple of verses that go along with this, that add to Romans chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4, but there are here a couple of more verses to add to that. In Acts 1:8, the last thing that the Lord Jesus Christ told the believers before he left says this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And so that has happened. We have received power. God's Holy Spirit lives within us. And we have all the power that we need. We have the same power as what Peter and the other apostles and the other believers had on the day of Pentecost. We have the same Holy Spirit. Well, what has happened? When we look at America, the church doesn't have power. No one thinks of the church like they did back then on the day of Pentecost. No one thinks of church like they did back in the days of our founding fathers. The church had power back then. Why don't we have power now? Because we still have the same Holy Spirit. Every believer has the same Holy Spirit that our founding fathers had. Every believer has the same Holy Spirit that Peter and the other apostles had. And I mentioned Peter because he gave the first sermon. And then let's look at 1 John 4:4, when it says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So who is in us? The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. That is who is in us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We're more powerful than Satan is because we do have the Lord Jesus Christ within us. And then look at the verse 13 when it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." The powers that be are ordained of God. And so, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Is that just for believers? No, indeed. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Everyone who is ever born should be subject unto God. There is the only place where there is any power. It says, going on in that verse, "For there is no power but of God." And the powers that be are ordained of God. Who would God give power to? He gives power to saved people. Does he use lost people to accomplish some of the things that he wants? Only to punish the believers because they get away from serving him. And so when it says, "Let every soul," you need to go back to Genesis 2:7. When it says, "And he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul." When a woman conceives, a soul is created. Approximately 9 months later, that soul is born physically. And sometime during that soul's lifetime, that physical lifetime, when that soul receives the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that's when that soul is born again. And that's when that soul has the power that is passed on from God and from the Holy Spirit. And in verse number 13 again, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God." And in verse number 2, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Whenever I hear preachers talk about this, they don't say too much about they receive to themselves damnation. What is that talking about? Well, you have to go back to verse 1 and see what verse 1 says. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." And then in verse number 2, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power." Now, whosoever therefore resisteth the power. What is the power? The power is God. There is no power but of God. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth God," not "whosoever therefore resisteth the government," but "resisteth the power." Resisteth God, and that resisteth the ordinance of God. And if you reject God, then it refers the rest of that verse, "And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." And so you need to get this in order. When you go to verses 1 and 2, you have to read and see what it's talking about. And in verse number 2, know that "whosoever therefore resisteth the power" is not talking about resisting government. It's talking about resisting God. Let's read verses 13 verses 1 and 2 again. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Anyone who never receives the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior will go to hell. Everyone who resists God will go to hell. That's why it tells us that we need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And so, Titus 2:11 tells us that we need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should not reject him, because God's grace appears unto all men. Well, we're going to stop there for now, but we'll be talking to you the next time. And when we come back, we'll be continuing here, Romans 13 and verses 1 through 4. So comes the end of today's message. We appreciate so much that you spent time to be with us. If you enjoy our program, would you please take time to send us any questions you might have, along with a love offering of any amount? And if you send at least $25, we will send you a 92-page book, When Good Men Do Nothing, Who Will Speak? Our address is The Patriot, 1776, at 14505 Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Again, The Patriot, 1776. The address is 14505 Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Talk to you again next time. Goodbye now.